From the Marquee Media Studio inside Mark Tank, it's the Mark Haney Show.
What happens when the founder pitching you isn't a human with a 20-slide deck, but instead it's an AI agent packaging a live data room via an MCP tool? And what happens if your fund isn't fast enough to read it? Yes, this is the Mark Haney Show, and we are on a mission to ignite the entrepreneurial revolution right here in the hometown we love. And we do that by building the Backyard Advantage, the most connected community in the world for local entrepreneurs. And it's based around this culture of love, right? Helping one another. And that's what we do at the Growth Factory. Yes, we are a venture capital firm, but we are so much more. Today on my show, I'm really excited because we have Josh May. He is part of the Growth Factory team. He is part of the venture studio inside the Growth Factory that is building products. And I've got my main man, Rick Spencer. He is the managing director of the Growth Factory and Growth Factory Ventures. And today we are going to be talking about what's going on with the way that we now pitch as startups, right, versus receiving those pitches as venture capitalists. How is that changing? Why does that need to change? And what's happening right now in this product that that Josh May is building out? So Rick, welcome to the show. Maybe I'll have you guys just do a little bit of a background, and you're going to help kind of lead us through this conversation as well. So Rick, maybe you start off by giving us a brief background on you, and then we'll kick it over to Josh.
Great, yeah. Frequent visitor to the Mark Haney Show. Glad to be back. Managing partner of Growth Factory Ventures. We just launched our second fund. So, you know, Mark and I, you and I launched the first fund early 2022, made 74 investments, had two exits, growing portfolio. Really excited to see all the progress.
And yeah, and two exits in such a short period of time, that's unique.
It is unique, yeah. I mean, especially with all the challenges of liquidity that we've seen in the startup world. But it really proved our thesis. I mean, we said, hey, if we can find these great founders, world-class founders, and help them build their companies, we can see these exits in 3 and 4 years. And it really is not about a unicorn, right? These companies didn't exit for $1 billion, but if they can go from zero to hundreds of millions of dollars in 3 to 4 years, it's a great return for our investors. It's a great return for the fund. And we're now not only continuing with that thesis of how we can continue to build those companies, we're just elevating it by adding a venture studio. And that's why we're excited to introduce the man, the myth, the legend, Josh May.
Josh, welcome to the show. We'll break you in gently, man. Give us a little bit of your background and then maybe what you're doing with our organization.
Yeah, absolutely. So high level, 20 plus years of bootstrapping and launching businesses. Had a lot of proud failures, but a few successes in there. Sold to a private equity firm, helped them go public, and then I worked on their portfolio company as chief innovation officer, which was super exciting. I got to work with a whole heap of companies building out their tech strategy and AI implementation, which really got me a total deep dive into the AI world. Then moved on to a decentralized cloud computing company, primarily focused on AI infrastructure, which again, I got another heap of experience there. Then after that, discovered the Growth Factory family. I realized that these are my people.
And yeah, you're like, love at first sight.
Exactly. No, certainly.
I love it. Well, welcome aboard. And today I want to start by maybe with you, Rick. What is a venture studio? Because within the Growth Factory, we have a fund where we invest into companies that are in the early stages, but we also have a studio that actually builds businesses, launches businesses. Talk to us about what that is for people that might not really understand it.
Yeah, great question. So, you know, with Fund 2, we're still making direct investments in these early pre-seed, early seed companies and still looking for those great opportunities where we can build alongside those founders. What we've added, and our other partner, Ollie McConney, he's the one that, really did the research and the development to be a co-founder with this, Growth Factory Venture Studio. We're adding the studio because, you know, what we see, especially with what we'll talk about today in this AI native world, is that building products has to be fast. And, you know, in some cases, you've got the right founder, the right timing, and the right, you know, team and opportunity, and you can do that fast. In other cases, you know, that founder may be slowing down that opportunity. And so we want to have the agility to say, okay, great, if we find the right founder, the right team, the right opportunity, let's invest. But if we see a market opportunity and we can't find the right founder and the right team and the right fit, why can't we build it ourselves? And why can't we have world-class builders in this studio that can see that opportunity, understand those signals, build incredibly fast, and then we can show the traction of that product, and then we can spin it out into an organization. If it doesn't work, we kill it and we learn from it and we move on, right? But we don't have that founder bias weighing us down, right? So now in this new world of venture, we have the agility. We can direct invest when we see the right fit, or we can build on our own. And that's really what the studio is about.
Yeah, in this new world of AI, things are happening faster, but you also see different opportunities out there. We're seeing opportunities with agentic situations where basically we have companies that don't have a lot of employees anymore. They're building them with agents. Yeah. Maybe share a little bit about that, and then what led you to the idea of Pitch Protocol?
Yeah, so I'll let Josh talk a little bit about Pitch Protocol in a second, but the shift that we're seeing is this AI native world, right? And so everyone's been talking about AI, you know, ChatGPT changed the world as far as people understanding and comprehending the capabilities of AI. But we soon went from, you know, large language models and generative AI to agentic AI. And, you know, obviously the long form is the AGI, the, you know, general intelligence. But right now with the agentic AI, some people are applying that to a workflow, and some people are actually saying, how do I build a company from the start where I'm building this as an operating system and I'm orchestrating all of these agents to be able to scale quickly and to build quickly, right? And so what has changed from a traditional startup where you had to raise millions of dollars and you know the first thing you do is hire your team. Now one person, two people, three people could say, how are we going to apply these agents and orchestrate these agents? And it also changes the economics, right? The cost of technology goes down. And now you're paying for commute. You're paying for compute, sorry. You're paying for distribution. You're paying for these things that, you know, can help scale that company. And so, Josh, I'd love to have you share a little bit because you've been in the founder's seat of both, right? You built traditional startups in the way where you had to build a big team and it took a long time and it was stressful and all that. And now you've built products in this AI native world. So from sitting in that founder's seat, what's the difference?
It's a night and day difference, if you ask me. You know, these being AI is completely different. I mean, it's entirely different org structures, entirely different way of operating your business, workflows in general. I think a lot of the stuff that we inherited traditionally with old typical SaaS tech companies still exists. I think we built an additional layer that's really amplified that. Now the time and cost to build is completely collapsed, which is now, you know, created this new environment of the AI native companies, right? And it just completely it democratizes what it took, what it traditionally would have taken forever with a lot of capital. Can now, you know, these are the garage band cowboy keyboard cowboys in the garage launching these unicorn companies like in a matter of months now, right? And that's what's fundamentally changed, which makes you really think about how the entire foundation and how we think about, you know, even investing in companies or, you know, building companies. It's happening today.
Yeah, sorry to interrupt you. One of the big pain points that we see with startups is the idea that they're so busy building their products to be trying to get their products to market plus go raise money is it's hard to do it all. And so that's when I heard you guys were building Pitch Protocol and I was like, whoa, this is going to be a game changer. Tell us about what you're doing with Pitch Protocol.
So let me start with the why first.
Okay.
In 2024, Anthropic launched MCP, which is Model Context Protocols. This was a standardized way for basically a fluent way for agents to read and work with APIs, essentially. Since the introduction of that, and it was kind of a standard that they set, the growth of that was like 900, like SDK downloads were like 900 and 70x than it was over the last 2 years in terms of growth. So that went from like 100k to like 100 million, right? This is massive. So you can see the adoption happen right away. As a result of it, everyone's launching these companies. I think GitHub had its biggest year with over 121 million new projects launched. It's the biggest year ever for GitHub. So these AI native companies are obviously adopting. They're obviously using it. We're seeing it every day. And yet when they go to raise money for their company, they're running into the old, you know, pain in the butt.
Set meetings and stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's like, it's an absolute bottleneck. It doesn't fit with the adoption of the tools that they're having, and then run into this brick wall, which every founder has the pain point of raising money. I'm sure many of your followers know exactly.
Everyone. And people, not only is it time consuming, there are some people that don't like it very much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it takes away from your company too. Yeah. You spend that time building rather than trying to raise money. I'm just trying to get back to building, right? On the flip side of that, you know, now you got VCs. Like on average, I think it was like for the VC, you know, across the industry, it's 3,000 about a year. It's roughly around 250 a month or something like that. And now when you have AI, you have a massive amount of noise, bunch of projects. You got to sift through all that to actually get to the right and great investments, right? So how do you handle that? And that's when we started to ideate around Pitch Protocol, which is the first agent-to-agent fundraising platform.
So you got an agent as your venture capitalist and an agent as your startup founder, and they are talking to each other, and they're talking to the startup can talk to way more VCs. Like, it's almost like instantaneous. They're talking to VCs and vice versa.
Yeah, absolutely. So like, all you have to do, anybody's familiar with setting up their MCP or setting up their agent, it literally takes seconds to do. And actually the agent does it for you. Anybody who's familiar with Claude or GitHub or ChatGPT, you know, all those LLMs, you basically just set it up, and in a matter of seconds, it helps you prepare your pitch, and then actually goes and pitch it to every VC on the network. And every founder that's been through this experience so far has already, he's just been praising about it. It's like literally in it and you're done. It's fantastic.
Can you walk me through, maybe from the founder side, they just hit a button and it goes? How does that work?
So essentially, you just put the MCP connection as of right now, but you can even tell it to like, hey, go and set up Pitch Protocol. You can just ask what, you know, your LLM what Pitch Protocol is. We'll tell you everything about it.
Okay.
So the setup takes literally seconds, like just like you connect any one of your connectors to an LLM. Once that happens, you say, okay, pitch my company to Pitch Protocol. Now, what's great about this, especially for the AI native founders, their AI has all the context of their business. They probably know more about the business than they do, which is pretty phenomenal. So like, that's why it's so immensely powerful, because all the work that I would have done preparing for all this gets all bottled up in a way so that it's pitched in the proper way, in the way I want it to be, you know, pitched, and maybe even better. And then once that's actually prepared, the submission actually goes through, and this is where the magical part happens. Well, it goes through a really rigorous multi-phase diligence process through the other agents on the other side. The VCs will set up their thesis, and they're investing in certain things. They're looking for certain criteria or benchmarks that I want to invest in. This will sift through all that noise. It aggregates it, puts a score, and how well it actually matches to their fund's thesis. All this is done by agents. So it takes months of work. So, you know, VCs have tons of resources that they're leveraging in order to get down to like the 0.3% they actually invest in. Well, in this case, it's like, this is going to surface the best companies from everywhere. And you literally get to the point where it's just a decision mode. I take a glance on it. Yes, I'm interested. No, I'll pass on this for this reason. Or maybe I'll follow it. And as I get updates as I go, I can know when the appropriate time where this actually fits now into my criteria. This is probably a good time to reach out now.
So the startup founder sets his agent to go. And then what comes back to him or her to cause them to have to take a next human step?
So from them, from their standpoint, I mean, the agent take it from there, kind of a scenario. But, you know, they get a acknowledgement that it was done. And then they get, the once the agents are there, have done the submission piece of it, the VCs then, you know, hopefully, you know, with all the VCs on the network, immediately gets feedback and they start getting into meetings right away. So the most likely, you know, when we launched, you know, I think immediately submissions started pouring in right out the gates, which was a great sign and an indicator that the demand was already there, that people were looking for this actively, which was great. And then we already have funds that are taking meetings. I think at this point, statistically, every single fund company that's pitched on Pitch Protocol actually got a meeting with a real VC.
Wow.
And now I actually, you know, we've only been live for now a few weeks, and I can tell you there's probably, I could see through other friends of mine that are also on the network and everything, that there's a few deals that are actually going to happen as a result of Pitch Protocol.
Oh my goodness. End-to-end. So they get the meeting. This meeting is either Zoom or face-to-face, like what we would consider a traditional meeting.
Yeah. And typically at that point, it's just more of, you have all the data in front of you. We actually, on the VC side, it actually prepares you with some amazing questions to actually ask. And it digs deep too. Into what you should be prepared for, what it didn't catch. It does a lot of the gap finding too. So it's not just internal data that the founder is providing, but it's also putting that in consideration, all this external data. So for various trends in the market, competitive analysis, all this kind of stuff. And so the pitch comes completely unbiased. It's really grounded on real solid data and a foundation that's like tells you exactly. It gets deep into what you have already would have worked so hard to get to, and that gets put right in front of you. At that point, you probably jump on a call to get a vibe check with the founder and maybe a demo.
So when the agent on the startup side is talking to the VC agent, is there a back and forth that happens in terms of them extracting more information, like Q&A type stuff? Hey, you didn't put anything down about this. Oh, well, I have that.
The agents are absolutely doing that. Okay. And so like, you know, the first thing is, it's that gap filling piece. So, you know, it's got everything under the sun that we might want to know or understand about the business. And then based on the initial feedback that we get from the founder, it would actually go and identify those gaps. If it's things that the founder can't give, it actually will result to external data or find anything by proxy to actually get to some of those numbers.
Maybe we could put my VC hat on for a second. Rick, we all manage money, right? We manage other people's money and our money along with it. And there's this enormous responsibility that we feel in doing our job correctly, right? Doing it thoroughly. I imagine the ability for a venture capitalist to do more full diligence, look at more companies, find the best opportunities, understand the best opportunities. I mean, our job, not only did it get easier, we're going to be doing a much better job.
Certainly. I mean, when you think about it, the best way to get to the best deals is, you know, you're only going to be as good as the best deal that you came across. Imagine if you can greatly broaden that horizon to get, every company that's actively raising right now into my portfolio. Obviously, it's not physically possible in the traditional ways of doing things. But now that I can do immense amount of diligence on every single one and surface the best companies to me, this gives you an incredible advantage over every other VC out there.
Okay, I'm dominating the questioning, Rick. Why don't you jump in and help guide this conversation?
Yeah, I mean, well, I think I'll summarize some of the things that you guys were talking about, which is like, this isn't just a slightly better process, right? This is a new paradigm, right? If you think about the founder perspective, they used to have to, it was one-to-one, right? They had to schedule one-to-one meetings, sometimes with associates of these VC firms. Those associates then score them, pass them on to the partners, and they have to meet with a partner, then they have to meet with the partners, right? And then there's constant questions and, that process takes months, right? And again, they have to stop building their business to do that because they can't do two things at once. So if they're pitching in all these meetings and answering all these questions, they're not building the business. So from a founder perspective, you can go from, okay, that process to, hey, 10 VCs are looking at my company. They're getting interactive data and that's happening 24/7, right? Because the agents don't stop working.
And this is something that, I wear this more of an emotional thing, but I don't like rejection, right? Mm-hmm. We're going to get a lot of no's out there if we're out there pitching our business, but I would think that this means less times that you get rejected because the prospects that you are talking to on the VC end, they're already showing interest.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, is the agent process prepares you better. That's what Josh was saying. I mean, even just to get, you know, all your data ready to be on Pitch Protocol, you know, you have to see if, you know, you're ready, right? And so it'll say, oh, did you think about this issue? Did you miss this question? You missed this data point, right? So even the preparation process versus the performative process of pitching, of how many slides do I have? What do they look like? How enthusiastic do I have to be, right? And so that's a performance. Now we're actually saying, again, in this new paradigm, let's prepare the founder, give them the best shot. The VC is looking at data, right? They're looking at that real-time living data room. So that's what Josh said, is that sometimes the agents know the business better because they don't sleep. So the agent knows what that revenue is in real time. They know what those customers are in real time, what the product roadmap is in real time, all of those things. And they can give that VC the most real time, up to date answer.
I wonder how much this is going to, say, democratize entrepreneurship, in that if you want to go raise venture capital, you don't have to make a trip down to Sand Hill Road. You can get all this stuff done from anywhere in the world.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's going to change it, because, and then think about these AI native founders that we were talking about earlier, right? They're if they have a platform like this, are they really going to go and do the old thing? So if they say, oh, I have to stop building my business, knowing that every day counts. I mean, these AI native companies, some of these are being purchased, you know, acquired within weeks, months now, for hundreds of millions of dollars. So what took 3 months to raise capital, maybe 6 months, your company should be acquired by then. If it's a really fast growing, valuable company, it has a shot to be acquired in that same time frame. So are you really going to stop for a week and go pitch a bunch of VCs on Sand Hill Road? Or are you going to use this platform? And so we're seeing that with the reception and the feedback of the founders saying, why would I do the old process if something like this exists? And so that's going to create this movement of these founders. And on the VC side, think about it, right? If these AI native companies are building so fast, you don't have time to read decks and wait for meetings and all these things. You have to be moving just as fast as them, or you will miss that opportunity. And that's the big paradigm shift. You know, these initial VCs on our platform, they're design partners. They're helping us, you know, think about the features, and they have to start building their AI infrastructure so they can respond as fast as these founders are building.
What a gift to the venture capital startup industry that this is. And you're turning it into a business whereby any venture capitalist can get on this, any startup can get on this, and then they just meet through agents. Mm-hmm. Amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. The industry absolutely changed. And like, when anybody who's paying attention right now, you could see this is going to be the glaring bottleneck in it all. And so this really just creates a streamlined way to connect, an actual bridge that makes that happen. So for the first time, the capital is going to actually move as fast as the industry. And that's incredibly important right now, which is the most inspiring part about that. Like,
yeah, you start thinking about what this does as it catches on. Right now, you've built this as a product and people are starting to use it. But as this becomes a protocol, if you will, this becomes just the way fundraising is done.
Yeah. And some of that also is informed by the data, right? So Josh, maybe you could talk a little bit about some of the initial data we're seeing, because that intelligence can inform the future, right? Because you think most VCs are making decisions in silos, right? So they, you know, they're always going to think, because they're fundraising, they're going to be, you know, confident in their ability and, you know, over indexing, you know, their thought process and all these things. But this will give them the data about, oh, you passed on these three companies, they went on to do these things. These companies, you know, you accepted, this is your trend, right? Like, that intelligence, you know, makes these VCs understand their judgment better. And that, you know, takes it to another level. So Josh, maybe share a little about the unique data that we're seeing.
Yeah, no, and that's immensely powerful. And, you know, you just inspired me too, as you think about it, because when you think about VCs and the data, and I think about the traditional way, you know, it's like, they're like, oh yeah, you know, I talked to that guy, he was all right. And they're like, oh no, this is a bank, you know, a great company. And then, but time only tells, you know, exactly like where you missed the mark or where you got it right, you know, type of thing. But now you have this immense amount of data that you're collecting and understanding about all these deals that you're passing or taking on. And you can look at that in retrospect and have that as a superpower now. It's insane to think about. Now, super excited we're going to be releasing what's called a fund index report. And I'm immensely excited about it because all the things that we're seeing internally, we're going to be able to share anonymized data so that the world and both founders and VCs have an understanding about what the state of the fundraising is right now and what are the type of trends or things that we're seeing in that world. And that's something because of this powerful network, we're able to get a glance into for the first time and have that out open for everyone to witness and utilize. I think it's going to be immensely exciting. So stay tuned for that.
Very exciting. So what I'm imagining, I'm going to put my back in the user's perspective for a minute just so I can get maybe a little bit deeper understanding. So I'm a startup and I'm raising money. We all know that these startups work a VC for a while, and the VC, there's this time that it takes to build a relationship and watch the business grow, and then eventually the VC ends up making the investment. But a lot of times that takes time, and we sort of track these things. Is the agent on each side tracking together through weeks and months and maybe years? Do they stay in touch with each other, or is it all about the initial meeting?
Oh, no. So the plans, we're still in some parts of it, we're still in the embryonic stage, but we're building fast. We're a native company.
Yeah.
So, as of right now, it is. So what we're building, yes, the answer is yes. That's continuous conversations and constant checks and goes. And as it scales, it gets immensely more better experience for both. And, if I'm getting, as a founder, if I'm getting the feedback, I'm not just getting no's, I'm getting an actual understanding about why some of these companies may not be interested, or what phases or what kind of milestones and benchmarks do I need to hit in order for you to be interested. And for the VC side, that I have a deep understanding about, like, tracking a company or understanding when they do hit those benchmarks or thresholds, or what has changed. So you take a state of things. So it's like, where is the state of this company today? How has that changed in a month from now? And what's great about that, when you think fast forward about where this world is going, because back then we would think about, check it back in a year. Now it's like, no, it's literally check back in a month because of how fast and rapid things are moving right now. The road product maps are being built out in a matter of days, not a course of a year anymore. So you're going to need something that moves that fast, which is why this tool is necessary. It's inevitable, if you ask me.
Interesting. Yeah. And I think what's important, Mark, what you just kind of pointed out, is venture capital has been an access world, right? Mm-hmm. It's about this: can you access these venture capitalists in the first place, and that these venture capitalists have access to this capital, right? The whole world is turning into this intelligence layer, right? And this intelligence foundation, and that's really what's so inspiring to me, is that we're helping founders move from guessing. Like, a lot of times you pitch a VC and they'll say, oh, we're a pass right now, but keep in touch, because they don't want to burn a bridge, and they don't want the founder to talk bad about them, right? But now these founders are going to have so much intelligence, and you won't have founders just copying pitch decks randomly. You'll have founders using data, and those founders will become more intelligent, and it forces the VCs to match them, right? Because if the VCs stay in that same paradigm, those AI founders are going to say, I don't want to work with this VC. It could be the best VC in the world, on paper, but they're going to say, this isn't a good fit. This person's going to slow me down. They keep asking me to go to this meeting and that meeting and these things. And they want me to use this outdated workflow, right? They're going to say no. So as these founders get more intelligent, as our platform gets more intelligent, the Pitch Protocol platform, VCs are going to have to change their whole operating model.
Yeah, it's interesting to think about the way we get pitched today. I won't say bombarded, but daily I get an email that looks like it's like a mass email, right? I'm not the only VC that got this email. So you're just like, okay, what am I going to do with this email? Okay, yeah, I don't even have time to really read through it because you get so many of them. So you sort of throw it into the system to, get looked at. That, in this scenario, will go away. No more emailing people out of the blue, or hit me up, direct messaging me on LinkedIn and having me have to deal through all these gyrations to make sure I'm courteous back or not courteous back. So it just happens automatically.
Yeah. And that's back to Sand Hill Road. Like, that was the access problem, right? Is only certain people had access. But now, because these funds on Pitch Protocol have a thesis, they can see any deal that matches their thesis, but the founders don't know they're looking at it yet. But your company now has a real opportunity to get in front of all the blue chip VCs that are on the protocol, right? And so that changes everything. Where before, you had to have unique access and you had to know somebody. And even if it was a great company, if you didn't have previous founding experience, you may never have gotten that meeting. Essentially now, if your company is strong enough because you've prepared it and it matches a thesis, you get all of those meetings, every meeting, right?
Yeah. What about the company that, let's say, started 3 to 5 years ago? They're progressing nicely, but they're not AI native. And they're going out for their Series A or B. Do they fit into this puzzle somewhere?
If there's a fund that's looking for that, sure, certainly, right? Yeah. that's a preference. You know, I would highly recommend they cling on to the AI world and start making adjustments quickly.
So start becoming more AI native than they are today. If they're not doing, yeah. Well, I mean, when I think about where we're looking to invest, we want to invest into the cutting edge of the cutting edge, because that's the best. It's changing so fast. You got to stay out front. What about the people that are not adopting the AI native sort of thesis?
The startups. I'll let Josh answer this question from a technical standpoint. But I say from an investor lens, you know, that they will be obsolete, right? You know, it will be just a matter of time. I mean, you're seeing this with the SaaS apocalypse, you know, like the traditional SaaS model just continues to be devalued, right? And so if they're not reinventing themselves, it's not just about applying AI tools and saying, oh, we applied some AI tools, or, oh, we have an AI strategy. No, they have to redo their whole org structure, right? Their org chart should have agents in their org chart, right? Mm-hmm. If they're not re-engineering their company, right? It's just like, you know, in previous startups, you'd have versions and then you'd create new versions or new releases. And in some cases, you'd have to re-engineer the whole thing, right? And it would take years and all these things. If they're not re-engineering their company to be AI native, they will not be able to move as fast, and they will be passed by either the companies already out there or new starters.
Yeah, and they have to capture data, right? So part of re-engineering their company means somehow getting all the data that happens on a daily basis within the startup. It's got to be captured so that it becomes part of the system.
Yeah, and this is becoming a screening for us. Is, you know, we're saying we get inbound all the time, you know, as a fund, and we're saying, okay, go to Pitch the Protocol, because if they can't connect an agent to Pitch Protocol, we know that they haven't re-engineered the organization. It's the first test, right? But maybe, Josh, you can speak a little bit to, I mean, we just looked at one of our portfolio companies, Radish, about how are companies re-engineering themselves, where maybe they've been operating for 3, 4, 5 years, and now they have to be ready for, they have to change to be AI native. How do you do that, you know, while you're already operating?
To me personally, I think they have an incredible opportunity right now. And there's a reason for that. They've been building systems and infrastructure internally for 3 years without the AI tools, right? So say they've been, you know, slowly adopting, they hear awareness of the AI, and now it's getting hit by them by a 1,000-mile-an-hour train, you know, like now they have to adapt. The one thing they do have right now is they probably have distribution, they probably have customers, they probably really ironed out a lot of marketing strategies, they've already whistled through all that. That puts them in a great advantage point over the AI native companies if they can adopt quickly now. The great part is they're not started from scratch. And I think many of them would be surprised about how easy it is to actually adopt. It's not that big of an undertaking. It's a different way of mentally thinking and approaching problems. It's about adding that layer. And when you get to that point, if they can adopt, they're now at the same level, the same compounding advantages that the AI native companies are, but now they're immensely ahead of the other ones.
Right. So there's a weird window. Knowledge.
There's a window right now. If they can click on fast, they actually have a huge advantage over, you know, the two, you know, keyboard cowboys in the garage right now, because they have the stuff that they don't have.
What about the venture capitalist that knows that the train is upon us and they're running, you know, old school, you know, taking notes on pieces of paper and things like that, putting things into a CRM or some database, manually typing it in. How does the venture capitalist need to change?
You sign up for Pitch Protocol. No, you know, that they have to change. It's an inevitability, I think. Like, you have to move in and adopt the same way. The AI native companies does not exclude VC companies either, right? Like, they're going to have to adopt the tools. And it's for a good reason. I mean, once people, you know, the way we say they have to, like, if you're being forced to do it, the reality is it's going to, once you open that door, you realize the immense amount of advantage and opportunity and value that comes out of that, which makes you want to dig even further into it. And that's how most journeys actually happen, you know. At first it's scary, or it's, you know, you don't want to change your behavior or whatever, and, you know, we've been doing this way. And then once you peel it open a little bit and start seeing the advantages, it's like, oh, wow, our margins are great. We're identifying great companies. We're doing this. Like, not only that, we're translating that back to the companies we're investing in. And now they're leveraging some of the tools that we're using. It's just, it's the ecosystem just keeps building on top of itself.
So you've just launched this. What's the reaction? You've got VCs on one hand, and then you've got the startups. I'm kind of curious, like, what the reaction is in terms of, I guess, satisfaction or amazement.
For every single person that has gone through it, you know, I take time to go on these meetings and stuff like that. And for the first 20 minutes, it's just about the, finally, somebody did it, or, this is exactly what I wanted or looking for, at least for the first 20 minutes of it. So I think we got that locked in, you know, from, on the founder side. And on the VC side, you know, again, immense amount of value from the traditional ways that they were doing it to, like, oh, now it's a click of the button. I'm not having to deal with that, you know, that young guy, that entrepreneur that's in my inbox right now that I got to get him a response to something, or like, I haven't got a chance to look at the deck. It's like, no, it's right then and there. Just as quick as it is to read that email, you've already made a decision with a Pitch Protocol profile on that company.
Well, this is a two-sided marketplace. You've got the VCs and you've got the startups or the early stage companies. And typically when we built these platform companies in the past, there's been a little bit more difficulty bringing on one side of the marketplace. This is a two-sided marketplace. And so which do you think is going to be more difficult to get adoption, the VC or the startup?
It's funny, they're immensely different perspectives into the same solution, which is crazy. I would say that, first of all, the indicators that we have so far, I mean, usually when you find a company, you want to understand if there's real demand there. You want to know that you're building for something that somebody's actually looking for. You're not, you know, and so when we got the initial signals after the launch, I was blown away by how much people adopted it, which means that we did something right. It means that there's somebody there, you know, this was something that was needed in the world. I would say for the founder side, it's a little bit, you know, obviously they're looking for funding. And probably at this point, it's the founder who's exhausted. They're going through their cousin who knows this guy at a firm. And, you know, their employees or co-founders are stressing because he hasn't done any BD work because he's sitting there, you know, trying to raise capital for for how long, you know. That guy is ready to adopt, you know, or girl. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, it's literally, they're right there. So that one's a little bit easier. On the VC side, I think, you know, probably a little bit difficult to get them to understand this different way of thinking. But again, I don't think it's going to come from me. It's going to come from them getting demand. Left behind in the market. Yes. And then realizing, why is everyone scooping up these amazing deals and making these incredible decisions and, you know, able to take on so much volume in short little time?
Yeah, I mean, you can imagine there's going to be meetings or, you know, collisions with a VC and a founder, and the VC is going to say, oh, send me your deck. And the founder is going to say, what do you mean? Right. And those VCs are going to start hearing that, and they're going to go back to their office and say, ask their associates, hey, why did this founder look at me like I was a joke because I asked for a pitch deck? And those associates are going to say, yeah, let's walk you through something like Pitch Protocol. We don't do that anymore. Right. Like, that is the, you know, the old world, right?
No decks, only endpoints. RIP, yeah. Pitch deck.
Paint me a picture of what this company, Pitch Protocol, what does Pitch Protocol look like 3, 5, 7 years down the road?
Oh, great question. You know, first and foremost, getting the capital to move at the speed of light right now is like the main focus. But when you think about the possibilities as how you facilitate a discussion between a founder and a VC, it doesn't just stop at, you know, whether I want to invest in this company. You know, there's immense ways to come at that, because it's like, oh, maybe we might even take, you know, help you out with the term sheet and understand that this is fair and evaluated and everything is being considered in this term sheet. Or, you know, maybe, you know, the data has a lot of insight and information that can feed back on it. There's just so many different directions that it can go. And once you get that, when you, you know, economies of scale, once you get to a certain point, like, you get a lot of flexibility. And I think one, I want to continue to build more for the founder side. So helping you prepare, understand those blind spots, you know, most of them, they're like, you know, they're passionate about the product they're building. And then they realize, you know, just like any founder going through this is like, oh, now I got to put on a whole new hat and learn how to raise money. You know, and if we can help them with every step of that process, I would love it so the Picassos of the world didn't have to cut down a tree to make a paintbrush, right? Like, this is just something that you plug in and you click a switch and like, all right, we got that covered. Get back to building and providing value back to the world.
Right? Well, you're iterating on new solutions hourly. I see how fast this is getting built. I've never seen anything in technology get built as fast as what you're building Pitch Protocol. It's almost like it's building itself.
Certainly is. And that's like, so many AI native companies inherit a lot of these processes, and one in which, you know, it's kind of like this eval harness that you put onto it. Well, essentially what it does is that every single person that goes through your system, you're evaluating every single interaction and the behavior, and then you evaluate at the end, how could that have been better? And you feed that back to the loop, and it just, as every single interaction happens with any app or any software or any service that you provide, if it's constantly feeding back the loop, and that's where the iteration comes from. It's where I actually don't know where this could potentially go. It's going to be driven by what is most needed, because we're going to be able to understand like where are the holes, what are people wanting after this, etc. And that constant cyclation, every single cycle that goes through that is always enhancing the product.
Is this a recursive learning type of system that you've built?
Sure. Yeah. Again, common in AI native companies. All of them know how to inherit this stuff. It's mm-hmm. pretty cool.
Well, and one thing, you know, speaking of quick iteration, and you talk about two-sided marketplace, we're actually adding workflow for angel investors. And I know, Mark, you've been an angel investor for a while. And if you can think about the speed of adoption there, because the angel investor, you know, they're in even more of a challenging spot than the VC, right? They may not have access to deal flow. If they do get deal flow, they don't have a team, most likely, right? Maybe they have some, you know, admin support, right? But they don't have a firm that can support them in review and decision making, right? And so you can imagine, you know, angels that want to say, this is my thesis. I want to know about all the companies that meet this thesis. They don't have to go look anymore. They don't, the deals get scored. They can have diligence. And so angels can be funding opportunities they didn't know about within hours.
Yeah, as an angel or former angel, I'm still running in some of those circles, and it's amazing how much I've allowed as an angel investor my emotions to affect where I'm going to invest. You know, I've often talked even on the show about, I just want to invest into somebody I'd want to go out and have a beer with, right? So I want to invest into people I can feel some empathy with, who are really, I'm investing into these founders. But I'm only meeting with, how many people can I meet with? I can only meet with, you know, the day, you know, I'm only meeting with, you know, one a day max, right? So if I could sort through all the times when I might get emotional to the point in time when I actually get to meet the person, what a savings and what a better decision maker I would be. I'm not betting on somebody just because I want to have a beer with them.
Right. And you can still find that intelligence. I think that's what's so powerful, is that if you say, you know, that your agent can help you prepare and say, did you think about these questions? And you know, the models that we've built, the power of those questions, I tell people, it's like, I feel like there's 10 PhDs sitting in the next room, you know, coming up with these questions for me. So I feel like I have, you know, superhuman powers. And you could then, you know, ask those questions, or you can have the agent pull from those things about, hey, I want to know what their, you know, personal outlook is on this, right? Like, you can still make sure that there is a connection. If there's impact investing you want to do, the intelligence that it allows you to do that, but you don't have to have three meetings to get there.
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to, on that note too, another, when you think about where the Pitch Protocol potentially can go, one of the things that we think about, is, you know, as an angel investor, like, you know, you're emotional. I've been a victim of the same thing, like, you know, same scenario. And you're kind of guessing, you're learning, you learn by getting burned a lot. Right. Mm-hmm. Some of the stuff that's, you know, all the tactics and solutions that are provided on the public sector for, you know, individual or wealthy individuals can now be accessible through the private. So like, you know, there's a time and place where a pitch protocol can actually have an index where, you know, you're based on certain categories or like in the top 100 that are found through pitch protocol. It's like, I want to, you know, allocate my capital and distribute it across, you know, the top companies that were identified through the pitch protocol system. So it makes you think about the possibilities that are there as well.
So we're thinking about from the VC side and how much data there's out there in the world, right? All the competition and the market and timing and things like that. There's a lot of data collection that you need to do in order to become committed to this. So, you know, Ali has talked about the speed and conviction revolution, right? How much faster the investor is going to be able to get a yes, right? Get to yes. And you need to be able to get to a yes faster today than you did yesterday. And it's going to be needed a lot more tomorrow.
So. Or you can get to a point where you don't even have to make the yes. And that's where it gets really exciting. So imagine a world where, you know, especially you start to, you know, your agents are getting stronger and more powerful that, like, I put enough confidence and validation into that where it's actually doing it on my behalf.
It's so. A DocuSign. You're the DocuSign. Yeah, exactly. There. Click, 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 yes.
That's all you need is your penmanship on that part, you know. That's all you need. Yeah.
So what else from the venture capital side? What would you say to a family office, a venture capital firm, somebody who's really, I'd say more on, maybe even an angel group, somebody who's more serious about doing the right thing from an investment standpoint? What would you say to them about pitch protocol?
Yeah, I would say, you know, again, beyond the product, it's the paradigm, right? And so two things is, one is if they don't adopt this new paradigm, they'll get left behind. And those businesses and those firms will essentially, you know, a lot of VC firms, you know, if they had some success, it was easy for them to continue to raise and raise because there was scarcity. But now there is not, with this intelligence, that scarcity. And so they have to adopt this or they will die. And I would say the other thing that is incredibly important for VCs and angel investors is this window of opportunity. This AI agent scale-up value that's being created over the next 2 years, you know, that's going to be, these next 2 years, we're going to see the highest value creation while SaaS continues to be devalued. And so if you miss that window of opportunity, right, you're going to miss some of the greatest, you know, returns that, you know, venture capital or angel investing has ever seen. And so it's not only, you know, you're being left behind, but, you know, the opportunities that exist in this window, you know, are so valuable, and we've never seen these before. It was always, you know, build to become a unicorn and then exit. And now if you can, you know, build for 3 months and be purchased for, you know, $500 million, that's a great exit.
There'll be almost like no excuse for a venture capital firm not to have seen an opportunity. It's like, mm-hmm. How did you miss that opportunity? It's they're part of pitch protocol. You right. missed it.
Yep.
Okay, so Ali also mentioned new LP and GP dynamics. Mm-hmm. What's he talking about there?
Yeah, so I mean, you know, before it was a lot about, you know, just trust, right? You know, do the LPs would look the GPs in the eye and say, do I trust this person with my capital? Mm. And, you know, hopefully there'd be a good return, right? So now GPs are going to have to say, look, this is the intelligence layer that we're applying. And with some, you know, like family offices, they want more liquidity, right? And they want more control. So they're investing less into funds and investing in a few select funds so they can have direct deal flow access. So you can imagine, you know, a family office, they love pitch protocol, right? Because now they have the ability to have this access and this process. We talked to one family office and they're like, man, not only is this more efficient and more effective, but the intelligence layer that I'm gathering, I can now build out all these processes and be, you know, so powerful, right? And that's what AI native unlocks for this new LPGP dynamic, is that venture firms like what we're building with Growth Factory, with this venture operating system, you know, we can be a team of seven, but be as powerful as 500, right? Yeah. And so now it's not, if I'm an LP and I'm sitting down with you as a GP, it's not, do I trust Mark? It's, Mark, tell me about your operating system. Tell me about your intelligence layer. Because if you don't have a thoughtful process for that, I know as much as I trust you as a person, you're going to miss the best opportunities. So I can't trust my capital with you because you're not ready.
Well, this is going to be a basic question for you, Josh, for me. So we have this system and it's getting data in from the startup world that's part of this. And it's getting information in from, you know, our business, a venture capital firm. There's so much more data out there in the world. Where is this system getting the rest of the data associated with, like, how to make good decisions?
Yeah, well, that's where LLMs is the most powerful at, right? Is like digesting mass amounts of information. And they were really just set on just devouring the internet, you know, similar to like how Google approached this problem in the early days. It's just like, it collect as much as you possibly can. This is how it's all often trained, by the way. And so, like, really, the first piece is like having an understanding about what the goal is. When is that, like, I need a complete 360 understanding about what this business is and what the business is in relative to the rest of the world and everything. So then once it identifies that, the initial intake of information gets set, and then it says, okay, like, you know, it's either we have a lack of confidence about this certain, you know, area of your business, so we're going to go and validate that and then take this out to the world of the internet, which is so weird to even think about in the day. There's a whole level of agents, just swarms of agents just devouring the internet, and people don't even realize it. And so, like, they're digesting all this information, and then they're going back and they're reevaluating and putting those pieces together. And so you get the complete picture, and it won't stop until it has a full understanding about everything.
So as you think about the LLMs, they've gotten a lot better than they were last month and the month before that and a year ago. And so they're still on this very rapid improvement in terms of the amount of data, how correct the data is and that kind of thing. So they're improving at an extremely rapid rate. What does that mean for a business like Pitch Protocol? It's like, it's only going to get better because it'll get better internally, but it'll get better because the LLMs are getting better.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the world you want to plan for. And I say, and that's advice for any AI native company, is that, like, if the models are getting better, your business should be getting better at the end of the day, right? And if that isn't the case, then there's something wrong or you should readjust. So that's the kind of the world you got to plan for, is that, like, okay, now it gets more powerful. You know, for us, we have these, like, you know, checks and imbalances within in between that's being surfaced, but like over time it's going to be like such like one shot kill understandings, you know, like then you got to prepare for that world. And on top of that, being able to consume even more data. So like, you know, with us, like, and this is with every LLM in the world, you know, like the window is like this big, you know, when it first started, it's kind of like these contact windows and everything. This is the world that it's absorbing, you know, and those things are starting to get better this way too. So it's able to understand a lot more and compress a lot more in a shorter period of time. So when you take that to and apply it to what we're doing at Pitch Protocol, it's immensely exciting about where that can potentially go.
And I would say, maybe just for the average person that might be listening, you think about like how fast AI, whether you love it or see problems with it, it's causing life to be so much easier, right? Startups generally create products that are good for society, right? They tackle these big, big problems. So if you think about how fast these businesses can get built, including how fast they can get their fundraising done, how much faster of a better world we're going to be creating.
100%. That's really one. Anyone say, and I think it was funny, I was just talking to on the Uber driver on the way over, one of those that was kind of scared about AI, you know, and I said, this isn't the first renaissance we've seen, you know, like the Industrial Revolution, it's always a double-edged sword, right? Does a lot of good at the same time. Yeah, sure, there might be some things that are bad, but you got to take the whole picture. So the reason why during the Industrial Revolution, the Frankenstein was invented, you know, everybody was freaked out by it, you know, it's like, oh, it's going to take our jobs and all this kind of stuff. And we've seen this over and over and over again. So you got to weigh it. It's a double-edged sword. One side of it, immense amount of power. So yeah, it's scary, but we'll figure it out.
How much faster are we going to cure cancer, solve all these other bigger, big problems if we don't log jam at the fundraising level, right? So there's all these businesses can get built fast, but there will be there is a logjam always on making sure you're funded, right? If you didn't have to worry about being funded, oh my God,
imagine it. Think about the gain of all the human capital that goes into fundraising that can now be used for building those businesses and solving those problems. You know, that's tremendous impact.
Yeah. What did I not bring up? What did we not cover? Anything else that you want to make sure that we share regarding Pitch Protocol?
Well, I'd say pitchprotocol.vc, you know, go to the website. If you're a founder, you know, connect with it. If you're a VC, connect with us. We'd love to get you onboarded. And I would just say, yeah, there's, you know, these two big things, right? The life cycle of venture is collapsing. It's going from months to days. And so, you know, if you're not moving with that, then you're going to be out of the game. And, you know, this window of opportunity, this value creation we're going to see in the next 2 years, you know, is exciting times. But you have to have the right intelligence, you know, to capitalize on it.
Yeah. Josh?
Well said. I don't know. RIP Pitch Deck. That's
rest in peace, Pitch Deck. Pitch Deck. Bury the Pitch Deck.
Yeah, exactly.
I love it. All right. Well, thanks for coming on the show. Thanks for building this out. I think it's just good for the startup industry and the VC industry, but it's good for humanity. Thank you.
Right on. Thanks for having us.
And to all you out there fighting the good fight for entrepreneurship and for the backyard advantage, and of course, all of you out there fighting the good fight for our freedom, our security, in our way of life. Here at Haney Biz, the Mark Haney Show, and the Growth Factory, we're never above you. We're never below you. Always by your side.